Blog Talk Radio.
The NFL Draft by All Players follow.
On to our next guest here on the NFL Draft Bible Extravaganza Show, and he is a national champion quarterback for the University of Alabama, and he joins us now on the NFL Draft Bible Extravaganza Show. Greg McElroy joins us on the hotline. Welcome to the show, Greg.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, well, we appreciate you taking some time with us here tonight, and you know, you've been getting a lot of interest from teams, particularly here around our neck of the woods in the eastern part. I know the Giants, the Eagles, the Cowboys, all NFC East teams working you out after your pro day. And a very impressive combine performance. You know, you went out there with a broken hand, showed a lot of grit, a lot of guts. Willingness to perform through the pain despite the broken hand. Came out, not only did you do all the drills, Greg, but you also scored the highest Wonderlic score that we've heard so much about. Take us inside back at the combine into some of those personal meetings that you had with NFL teams. Were they impressed with the Wonderlic score? Was that something that came up in the discussion when you met with NFL teams?
Well, they've talked about it. I mean, everyone, I think, understands that what I bring to a team is an intellectual capability. And for the most part, I've just been very fortunate up to this point for people to recognize that and appreciate that and understand how much that has to do with playing the position of quarterback especially. So, you know, I think that it has come up. You know, some people say it's a red flag. Some people say it's a positive. Some people say it's a negative. I mean, it's however teams want to look into it, but it does prove to me one thing, that I will be able to handle and understand and make decisions at a very rapid pace like it requires an NFL quarterback to do. And, you know, I definitely think it translates, and I'm really hoping that, you know, I have a good career because of it.
Yeah, and, you know, Greg, you mentioned the fact that, you know, you did play in a pro-style offense where you were expected to go through your progressions, and that definitely gives you a leg up on a lot of the passes in this draft class. But what do you think is the most underrated or undervalued part of your game?
Well, I think it's just my accuracy. I think I think a lot of people become so enamored with arm strength and how far can he throw it and how hard he throws it and how fast it comes out of his hand and all that stuff. But quite frankly, when it comes down to it, it comes down to putting the ball in the right spot at the right player, relative to the defender and relative to the play being called. But you know, I showcased a lot better accuracy this past season. I think it also showed the fact that from year one of me being a starting quarterback, yeah, we went 14-0, we won national championship. I think it was, you know, an incredible achievement for not only myself as an individual, but for us as a team. But in year two, I just became such a better player. My percentage in completion went up 10%. My production went up. I think my grading went up as far as my decision making and things like that. So. I just wish I had one more year. You know, I just really think with one more year I could really do some special things. And but hey, it's unfortunately I'm moving on to the next level, and I'm excited about the opportunity. I'm excited about hearing my name called next week.
And you know, each and every year, you know, when we analyze and dissect a lot of those Alabama players coming out, the one thing that people always talk about is the level of coaching that you received. You know, what are some of the things you're going to remember most about playing for Coach Nick Saban?
Well, I think I'll just remember, I mean, he runs a professional program. I mean, you're expected to show up on time every day, ready to work. We run a pro-style offense with pro play calls. I mean, you know, I mean, every play that we have is strictly from the Miami Dolphins offensive playbook when Coach Saban was there. So it's a West Coast-type system. You know, I think we go out there, quick rip, 4:38 run at F-State cross option, things like that. I think having that ability to call those plays, make the adjustments, make the audibles, make the checks, and make them in a very short amount of time gives us a leg up. I mean, we're just very prepared. And we've already been in a professional organization here at Alabama. So I think going on the next level, it makes the transition just a little bit easier, and it's something that I think a lot of people have had success doing, with the exception of, you know, a couple people here and there.
Rick Serratella, Daniel Moglione, Ralph Mancini here on the NFL Draft Bible Extravaganza Show, talking to Alabama quarterback Greg McElroy. And You know, we just heard him spit out some of that Alabama verbiage, something that Cam Newton couldn't really do the other day on ESPN on that show with John Gruden. But, you know, that's what you're getting with a kid like Greg McElroy. Brings smarts to the table, intelligent decision-making, runs a pro-style offense. And, you know, these are things that are going to make the transition to the next level a little bit easier, I would think, Dan.
Yeah, I would think so for sure. I mean, that's a big plus. It's something we were just talking about with the previous guest, you know, a quarterback who looks at the sideline for a play as opposed to one that actually gets his teammates around in the huddle and gives the play out. Greg, I was curious to ask you, too, you know, one of, you know, don't hold this against me now. One of my favorite players in this draft is Nick Fairley from University of Auburn. I'm just curious, what was it like to go up against him as an opponent?
Well, he's a great player. I mean, Nick was someone that we had to kind of game plan adjust to, and we wanted to leave him on an island as little as possible. And he's just, he's got a really, really quick first step. I mean, a very impressive step. When it's third down, you know, his ears are pinned back. I mean, he's coming, he's rushing hard. So, you know, he's a great player. I got a lot of respect for him. You know, I wish we could have beat him, but, you know, it's okay. And you know, I think he had a great year, and he should go really high. I think you'll have a great career.
And from a quarterback's perspective, I mean, I know when you're preparing for games, you're not watching that much game film or, if any, maybe of the opposing team's offense. But what's your take on both Cam Newton and Ryan Mallett, who you did beat earlier in the season this past year, as quarterback prospects?
Well, you know, having played against both of them, I'm pretty familiar with their style. I really knew, you know, what it would take as far as, from a defensive standpoint, to stop them. I mean, and we've seen the offense 100 times. I mean, I watched, you know, the Arkansas games when they're playing Ole Miss or someone like that. So, you know, when we're playing Ole Miss, we're watching tape of the Arkansas game or something along those lines. So I've seen those offenses several times. I think Ryan, you know, is an extremely talented individual. He obviously, you know, he's had a lot of success, and he did a great job at the college level just doing exactly what Coach Petrino and the rest of the Razorback staff asked him to do, and that was to be effective playmaker. You know, see, people give him knocks, but every time I've ever talked to him, he's been nothing but respectful and nice and just really a good guy. I mean, I've really enjoyed my time with Ryan, and, you know, I just feel like he's getting a bit of a bad name and a bad reputation. I don't know if it's necessarily warranted, but, you know, that's just kind of the way this little fickle process works. Everyone's trying to break you down, but he's a great player. He's an incredible talent, and you know, I look forward to seeing how his career ends up. And Cam too. I mean, it's hard to find a guy who had a better career. I know it was short lived, but he did everything he could want to do in 1 year. And you know, he's a great player. He's obviously physically imposing. He's a specimen. I mean, for the most part, like, there's just not a lot of guys out there like him. You know, I'm interested to see how his game translates. I think everyone is. And, you know, he's going to go, who knows where he's going to end up. But, you know, I think he's going to have a good career. And even though he went to Auburn, I mean, did you still pull for guys? And he can't ever say anything bad about anyone from the SEC, in my opinion. So, you know, I wish them both the best. I'm looking forward to following their careers. And who knows, down the road, we might cross paths at some point.
Oh, yeah, once you leave school, I mean, Alabama's still one, but you still got to represent the SEC conference, that's for sure. And, Greg, you know, you've given some nice scouting reports here on some opposing players. Let me give you a chance to give a little love to one of your guys, Julio Jones, your number one target the last couple of years at Alabama. You know, from somebody that's played with him, that's connected with him, that's practiced with him over the years, give us some insight to Julio and his abilities as a receiver.
Well, I mean, Julio is just, he's an unbelievable talent. I think physically he's as impressive as anybody I've ever been around. The best thing I'll say about Julio, and a lot of people just don't realize these things, is everyone knows he can run a 4.3. Everyone knows he can make incredible plays. Everyone knows he's a fantastic physical athlete. But when it comes to being a person, I mean, Julio's not afraid to block. Julio's not afraid to help out his quarterback. He's not afraid to, you know, maybe take a reduced role. And, if he has four catches for 20 yards, you won't ever one time hear Julio complain. He just wants to win. And that's the great thing, especially in a position like that, that is so, you know, me first and things like that. Julio's one of the few guys I've been around that genuinely will do whatever it takes, allowing the team to be successful as opposed to not worrying as much about his statistics and production. He never complains. He never worries about anything. And he's just a fantastic teammate and a person I really have a lot of respect for.
Talking to Greg McElroy, the Alabama quarterback, NFL draft prospect here, and national champion. Greg, before we let you go, it's been a pleasure talking to you, but maybe for some of the NFL teams that are listening now, tell us why an NFL organization should select Greg McElroy in the upcoming 2011 NFL draft.
Well, I think one thing is I'm a winner. I've won everywhere I've gone. I've won a national championship in high school. I won a national championship in college. And quite frankly, I think my record speaks for itself. So, you know, I know a lot of things get played into it, but, you know, you can't teach those things. Those things that I'm really proud of, and I've been very fortunate to be a part of some great teams as well. So, you know, I'm not by any means taking any of the credit. But, you know, I think those are things that are important, and those are things that are very important to allowing a team to be successful at any level. And the fact that I've had experience winning, I've experienced losing as well, you know, in tough games, I think I would just be a real valuable commodity to some team. And whatever team that may be, I don't really have much of a clue. All I know is I'm excited, and I feel really good about my draft prognosis at this point. And I'm really looking forward to finding out where my home's going to be here in about a week.
Hey, Greg, you talked about being a winner. I mean, what's it like winning a national championship at the University of Alabama? You know, that following off season and that full year in Tuscaloosa. Give us a little insight. I mean, we know how much football means to those fans. I mean, you know, they pack it into the spring games year after year. Give us a little insight. You know, do they ask you to sign weird things, take pictures that kind of surprise you? What's that experience like?
Well, I mean, I don't think I've gone anywhere in the past 24 months without having to sign something or take a picture or just shake a hand. And just, you know, people here are just so appreciative of people that give back to the university. And that's something I really wanted to do when the day I signed up here was just try to give back. And I wanted to leave a legacy here that people can be proud of and my family would be proud of and all those things. So, I've been very, very fortunate. I've been very happy. And having won national championship, it kind of casts you as I don't want to say legend, but you won't be forgotten. I mean, you'll always be remembered here at the state of Alabama, and that's why I came to school here, because I wanted to have an effect and really try my very hardest to get Alabama back where I think it belongs. And over the past 5 years, we've gone from a 6-7 team all the way up to a national championship team. So I've been very fortunate. It's been an incredible ride, and it's sad that it's bittersweet that it's coming to an end, but I am really excited to see what my journey and which turn it takes next.
And this is Alabama quarterback Greg McElroy. Greg, I feel like I can sit here and talk football with you all night. I will let you go because I know you're a very busy man. But before we do let you go, on a lighter side of things, you know, we tend to see Nick Saban, this hardcore football coach, national champion. Can you tell us something maybe that you know, our listening audience might not know about Coach Saban?
Well, he sends this message, and he really tries to present himself as this tough, hard-nosed, old-school football coach that doesn't put up with any nonsense and pretty much is, you know, doesn't care about the well-being of his players. So that's hardly the case. I mean, he really does care so much about us, and he gives us every opportunity to be successful, not only as players but also as people. So I have so much respect for him. I'm just – when he – you know, obviously signed up to play for Mike Shula at the University of Alabama, and when Nick Saban was brought on staff 1 year after I started my career, you know, it was kind of like a gift from God. I mean, it's just – he's incredible. And just – I've been so fortunate to have just experienced his life lessons as well as his great football and all those knowledge. But you do walk out of here when you sign up to play at Alabama as a better person. I think that Coach Saban's – a really big part of why, obviously, we're back where we are as far as national prominence is concerned, but also because of the people that he's raising. And there's a lot of people that have taken notice. A lot of people have taken notice to the changes that we've made as far as arrests and things like that. All those numbers are significantly down because Coach Saban knows how to get the best out of everybody, and not only football, but also off the field as well. So, yeah, like I said, I mean, he really is just incredible. And I think we'll have a long, outstanding relationship far after I leave this place. And best story I can say about Coach Saban, every year he takes his captains out on the boat. So we would go on the boat. I think I went the past 3 years. and we'd ride jet skis and we'd do the tube, and Coach Saban's up there in khaki pants and a button-down shirt, dressed as formal as possible, driving a boat, trying to throw his big 300-pound linemen off the tubes. So he's competitive and he's the best, and you know, he really, you know, he's the best at, in the business at what he does, and Alabama wouldn't be the same without him.
Well, Greg, we thank you for taking this time to join us here on the NFL Draft Bible Extravaganza Show. We look forward to following your career at the next level and wish you the best of luck come April 28th here.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you all so much for having me. I hope you all have a great rest of the week, and I know you guys are excited for next week and draft day, and I have to add my name to that list as well. I think everyone's really anxious and hopeful and excited.
NFL Draft Bible Players Follow.